This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Just be aware that this episode contains sensitive information regarding mental health issues.
Welcome to Cab on Air, a program where we talk about the hot topics that we see at Cab. Citizens Advice Bureau, your rights and how you can get help to support you and your whānau.
Kia ora, today we welcome Heather to the show. Heather is the manager of the Women's Centre here in Christchurch. The Women's Centre is a not-for-profit organisation and they work for the well-being of women by assisting, supporting and encouraging them to make informed decisions. So kia ora, Heather, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kate, for having me come along today.
Oh, it's great to have you here. So we'll get straight into it. So just interested, as we always are, about the history of the Women's Centre, how it came about and then how you got involved.
The centre was initially established in 1986 as a community link for women's refuge, where women leaving refuge could obtain ongoing support and resources. Since the mid-90s, with the refuge starting their own community support, the client's base was opened up, with a wide range of women now accessing our services. For many women in the centre, it is a place to gather information, work through difficult issues, be supported, learn, and or rest before they go into the wider world again. So I have come from a background of counselling, completed my diploma in 2002, and not long after this I started working for Battered Women's Refuge. As a social worker actually, not a counsellor, which was rather interesting. So I weaved my way for the next 15 years in and out of contracts with Women's Refuge, and I've worked for about three different women's refuges here in Christchurch. I worked for the New Zealand Police, and back then it was known as the Family Safety Team. Now it's known as the Integrated Safety Response Team. And then I also worked for 3 years as a Family Court Coordinator in Christchurch. I have a passion for supporting victims of family harm. However, in the last 9 years that followed all of that, I actually worked at ACC.
Quite a change there.
Yeah. So I worked there as a case manager. However, it was only very briefly into my work with ACC that they discovered my talent for family violence. And I became one of the lead people in the project for the Integrated Safety Response Team to set up ACC as an agency that can support at what is called the, I don't know if they call it the round table, it used to be, it's probably got a new name by now. So, yeah, so that's sort of how I came into all of my background history with my counselling, my social work, etc. And I became involved in the Women's Centre because looking at my time at ACC, I decided I was coming near retirement. So I decided that I wanted to go back into counselling, so I had something to do, because I'm never going to retire, right? So I decided that I would get back into my counselling, and an opportunity opened up at the Women's Centre, and I applied and was successful. So I started in January 2022.
Gosh, what a wealth of experience you bring in that kind of sector with all the different kind of refuges and... Yeah, and what I didn't realise is the Women's Centre's been around for that length of time. I didn't realise in doing all of these programmes and asking people, heads of organisations, these questions, sometimes you think an organisation is quite new, but quite a lot of the organisations that we've looked at have all been kind of set up in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s.
Yes,
and it's quite a feat to kind of be around in the kind of not-for-profit and the community organisation space for that long.
Yes.
That's a real, a real kudos. So just thinking, why a centre for women? What needs are you seeing at the moment?
Yeah, so we actually have a motto at the Women's Centre, and it is Empowered Women, Empower Women. So this is true in everything that we do at the Women's Centre, and that's from providing a safe place for women to come and talk, to supporting our counselling staff to become a better version of themselves in order to be able to help others. And in all of this, we hope that by empowering women, they can go out into the wider community and empower other women also. So that's...
It's like a ripple effect.
It was a ripple effect, and it's just good to... good to see that, women can step forward and be a name and a part of our community. Yeah.
Awesome. And so I was just looking at some statistics. Now, it's quite hard to get statistics for women's mental health. Like, the statistics seem quite old. It's looking at, like, 2021, 2018. And I saw a statistic from, I think, 2021, which was... 25% of New Zealanders say they have poor mental health, and a third of women reported that they have poor mental health, and that there's been a decline in mental health and women's mental health since 2018, which may coincide with kind of the rise of COVID, quite possibly. And that anxiety was one of the real issues that we see increasing. Would you say... You've kind of seen, I know you haven't been at the Women's Centre across that span, but would you say that is correct?
Yeah, so we have noticed that through the lockdowns and that women are presenting more now with mental health than possibly they have done in the past. I think that's that isolation and not being connected to their communities, not being able to go to work, having their children at home, having their husbands at home. I think has all impacted on them in the long term. Also, what we're seeing, and we're seeing this particularly just within the last month, is a huge rate of women coming into the centre that have got more tendencies for suicidal thoughts. It's actually getting worse. As you know, even of this week, we've supported three women this week alone. And the sad side of that story is that there's not a lot of help in the community that we've been able to find for these women. It's kind of like they fall through the cracks a little bit. So our centre's not really set up for the complex cases. It's
I was going to say, how do you deal with that? That's
situation. We've got 26 volunteer counsellors, but they're all students on placement, so they're either in their second year, third or master's for their counselling. I do have a couple of qualified counsellors there, but the complexity of what's coming through is sometimes too much for our second year students. And often I'm called into the room to basically take over and make sure the right safety's been put in place for the clients. So, yeah, it's just becoming... very problematic right now. Yeah.
So, a difficult question to answer, but if someone is having suicidal thoughts, what are your kind of suggestions of what they could do, realising that obviously everyone's situation is different?
Yeah, I mean, everyone is different, and it depends on exactly where they're at in their pattern. If they're just, you know, everyone has suicidal thoughts at some stage in their life, I think that's probably a given. But it's about that, how do we support them at that stage? So if, you know, we ask the questions, you know, do you have a plan? If you do have a plan, what does that plan look like? So we kind of get an idea of where the client's at. But also we ask about the protective factors. So that would be, you know, who's out there that, you know, they might have children that they've got to look after, or they might have their grandchildren, or they might have an elderly mother they're looking after. So that's protective factors, which then we can work alongside the client there as well. But, you know, like as I said, this week we've had three extreme high-risk ones come through. And I have to admit, one of them, it took me 7 phone calls out into our community before I found the right mental health crisis response team that would actually help her. So it does sit us at risk a little bit because, you know, they are students that are learning and quite often not familiar with the work. However, I've got the background as well that I'm able to step in and help with safety plans. And all our counsellors have supervision regularly. So they have supervision with myself. They have supervision externally after every 10 hours. And they also have their provider, their education provider gives them supervision as well. So, and some of them have cultural supervision. So they have a lot of support. But yeah, it is a really tough one.
And so when you're looking at services to support these people, what kind of services are there in the community that people can access and they don't, if there are any, that don't need to go through a referral process or a long complex chain of different people? Do those services exist? I know that we've been looking at mental health and how to support clients who contact us, and one of the issues or one of the things that's making their issue worse is mental health issues, and we've found it's quite difficult to navigate the mental health services and find that pathway that's easy.
Yeah. I think that the crisis, the mental health and probably all of New Zealand, to be honest, is in crisis, and in particularly in Christchurch. So there are not a lot of services that are there for us and our clients, and that's the big problem that we're finding right now. And sometimes we've actually had them come back from Hill Morton to us we've been asked at the centre, can we be like a holding place for this person while they can get seen properly by Hill Morton? So it's, once again, it kind of is quite a difficult area. And I just think, mental health in general is a crisis point.
Yeah, I think that definitely coincides with what we see. And it's definitely a real task to navigate and support people in trying to get the right help.
Yes.
So it's great that your service is there. Again, I kind of think of a not-for-profit kind of filling in a gap almost.
Yes.
So it's great that your team can provide that.
Yeah.
So you've got the counselling services, which are free?
Yep, so we offer 10 free sessions of counselling. So generally someone would call in, they can just call in, self-refer. We get a lot from GPs. And so we'll get the phone call and they get given a day and a time that suits them, and they'll see the same counsellor for up to 10 sessions, and that's free.
Do you find 10 sessions for most people is enough?
Generally not. And a lot of our feedback is that they'd like to see the sessions longer. But because we have such a huge need for the services, and not just our service, but a lot of the counselling services, we have decreased our wait list. Last year we had a wait list this time last year of 200. This year we're down to 97. So we're doing really well and tracking really well. But it's just difficult to, say after 10 sessions, we can't really extend them out. So we keep to the 10 sessions. Then what we say to the clients is to go away and for the next 6 months try to implement some of the things they've learnt and some of the skills they've picked up on in their counselling. And after 6 months, if they want to re-enter the service, then they're most welcome to come back on.
So just looking back over the last few years, have you got any kind of successes or success stories you'd like to share with us?
The only thing that I can sort of talk about, because I've only been there from 2022.
Yeah, it's a difficult question.
Yeah. It's more about the centre's success story. And so when I came in to the centre, there was myself. I'm the only paid worker at the centre. And I have a volunteer admin staff. So in total, they're there for 16 hours a week, and that's all I've got them for. So we do have an amazing supportive board, and with their help, we've worked really hard to upgrade all the systems. So prior to me coming, for example, we were working on Windows 10. Now we're up to 365. And we've introduced fibre. We've got our phones all going through the computers now. we've gone paperless. As of last week, was our last two forms are completely gone from the office.
Fantastic.
So we're now paperless. And, yeah, we've just tried to really increase the centre and build the centre up. So I started with 10 counsellors last year. I'm up to 26 this year. And once again, what that does is we see about 97 clients a week. So in a year, if everyone was to arrive, that's around 4,000 clients for the year. And as I've said about the wait list, we're really comfortable with the wait list this year, which is really good. So waiting time on appointments is between about 2 to 8 weeks for anyone on the wait list.
That's really good.
Yeah, it's brilliant. So that's sort of our success story. We've grown our capacity where we've outgrown our office. We're in the process of finding new offices. That's where we're heading.
Lovely. And so just thing I wanted to circle back to with the service that you provide. Now, I did read, I was doing when you do some research, you do a little Google.
Yes.
And a Google review came up and it said, has a lovely library.
Yes.
So just tell me about your library, because I was just intrigued that this person had been so impressed that there was a library. Yes. That they'd put up a Google review.
Yeah. So, yeah, we do have a library. It's not huge, but it covers off anything from self-care books, counselling books. Oh, the students actually use it a lot for their work, right through to novels and, yeah, just nice, fluffy stuff.
So when you move to your new site, do you think the library will still
library
be a part
will be,
of
it? Definitely, yep. And we've got a big resource wall as well with all the pamphlets from other community agencies up there as well. So, yes, definitely the library will look a lot different, and we're hoping for a space where people can actually come and sit in the library and read the books, whereas at the moment often the library is the group room, and it's also the counselling room, so it depends who's in there at the time when people come in. Because we have a drop-in centre from 10 till 2 each day. That's just for any woman who want to come in, sit down, have a cup of tea, have something to eat, and just chill, basically. New premises, we're hoping for a bigger space where that can be more communal, because at the moment it's just our waiting room, and not always appropriate if someone's upset or just wants to chill right out and not have other people coming in for appointments and things.
And so once again, all these services are all free?
Mm, yeah, free.
Perfect.
Yes.
And so obviously as a not-for-profit and offering all these wonderful free services, mm-hmm. We've got to pay the bills.
Correct.
So is there any way that people can contribute to work either through donation or sponsorship or volunteering?
Yep, absolutely. So you're right. With new premises comes a bigger bill. So we are looking for corporate sponsors to help us with that transition. Primarily, if we get another 40k a year, that would be amazing, and that would just cover operational costs and rent of the building, etc., car parks and things. But anyone can donate. If you go to our website, there's a part there that says donate. You just hit the button and you can donate that way. We also have a give a little page as well. Hasn't been used a lot in the past, I've noticed. I only accidentally fell across it, actually, when I was doing something, and I got an email to say someone had donated some money, and I thought, oh, we've got a give a little page. So I've reactivated that so that people can donate through that as well. And predominantly I'd like the Give a Little page to be more directed at helping to fund new offices for us. Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
Volunteers, we always look for volunteers. Once we get into new premises, I'd like to have support groups started. With the support groups, I'd like volunteers to come in and be able to run those. You don't need experience. You just need to be empathetic and listening and be able to show some leadership, really. And admin staff, sometimes we look for, once we get into new premises, there'll be lots of volunteering positions that we'll be looking for as well. So, yeah.
Oh, we'll bring on those new premises.
Yes.
Okay, well, if you would like to find out more about the Women's Centre, you can head to their website. It's just www.womenscentre.co.nz or call 03 371 1214 or email support at womenscentre.co.nz. A reminder that this show and all of our shows can be found as a podcast. Just head over to the Plains FM website and tune in next month when we talk to our guest from the Step Ahead Trust about their work in the mental health space. Kia ora, thank you for listening. Until next time.